Grace, mercy, and God's peace be yours in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Another week, another church service. Do I have to? What difference does it make anyway? It's the same thing every Sunday. Even if we never say it, that's what our old sinful nature thinks. It's why we sometimes find ourselves dragging our feet to come to church. It's why we find it much easier to make a habit of something, anything else, on Sunday morning. Because there are so many important things in life, aren't there? It's why we become satisfied with less Jesus and rather than more, why our daily devotions suffer. During the week when help is needed at the church, or Wednesday evening when there's another opportunity to come and worship or study God's word together, our sinful nature does not want us to be here. But we also know we can't trust that sinful nature. You see, the sinful nature knows exactly what's good for it, keeping us out of God's word and away from Jesus. Good for our sinful nature, but bad for us. So that's why this whole church thing can be a fight. We're always up against ourselves to make it here. Sunday service, or just coming to church to help out, should be the most natural thing in the world for us. But it's not. It's not natural for us. But it is for Jesus. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. How about that? And Scripture is his word, and yet as a child, he studied and learned it by heart. And now as an adult, he's just as devoted to it. He attends services faithfully. His custom and habit is to love the word. Wouldn't that be something? To come to church not as a duty or a burden, not out of a sense of obligation, not as I have to or as a matter of routine, not even because we need it, even though, not, don't kid yourselves, we do need it because that sinful nature refuses to move out. But to come to church out of love for being here. That's the life of Jesus. He's the man who lives not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He's the one described in the first psalm, blessed is the man, Jesus. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. You see, it was normal and natural for Jesus to be in church, to hold God's word sacred, and to gladly hear and learn it. But this Sabbath day was different from all the others. This time, Jesus did not come to Nazareth's synagogue because he was the son of Joseph. He's been an obedient son for 30 years. This time, he was not there to be a hearer of the word. This time, he went to Nazareth's synagogue as a teacher of the word, a rabbi, a guest preacher in his home congregation. He went as son of the Father in heaven, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The hometown folks in Nazareth had never seen this side of Jesus before. They had never heard him like this. So whether they came that day out of habit or out of obligation or even love for the word, they got more than they expected. This was not just another service according to custom, go through the motions and head home. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Isn't that a great description? All the eyes in the church are fixed on Jesus. No dozing in the pew after a late night. No daydreaming about the upcoming Illinois basketball game this afternoon or the Super Bowl in a couple weeks. No sneaking a peek at your glances at your phone or watch. Wouldn't it be great if those words described us today? Jesus came and all the eyes were fixed on him. Then actually came the sermon. It was not a lecture on theology, a list of 10 steps to making a better you, and it was definitely not a rally on some social or political issue. In a simple and profound way, Jesus applied God's word to the people right there. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What Isaiah wrote, Jesus says, is all about me. It's as if the words of the prophet walked right off of the page and stood in front of them. Like one of those movies where the characters of the book comes to life as you read. Except this was no fairy tale and this was no story, it was real. Real scroll, real Jesus, real words from his mouth and real ears of his hearers. He fills out the word in four dimensions, in time and space. Jesus is the word in human flesh. The word that's living and active, present in this place for us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He is the anointed one, the Christ. That's why he went to the synagogue that Sabbath day. And they could not believe their ears. And did you catch how they responded? All spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming out of his mouth. And they said, though, is not this Joseph's son? No, not really. He's the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That's why he comes to church so faithfully still, including today, to deliver the good news of salvation to us poor and needy, to proclaim liberty to us who are in debt to sin, to give sight to those who walk in darkness, to set those who are in bondage free, and to let us know that the Jubilee year of the Lord has begun. And you know what? It all happens in our hearing. Literally, in our ears. That's how Jesus makes himself and his forgiveness known to us. It's like Paul said to the Romans, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The good news is, today in our hearing, the scripture is fulfilled again. Jesus, the Christ, comes with the Lord's favor for you and for me. That's the point of every Sunday. Flesh and blood Jesus, true God and also true man, steps into our service. He never grows tired of doing this. He loves to fulfill his word again and again, to be the word for poor lost sinners like you and me. Therefore, Sunday is not about you and what you're doing here, though it's good that you are here. What matters is that he is here. For the depressed and the despairing, for the sinner and the sinned against, for all those who are oppressed, victimized, abused, taken advantage of, and suffering. He's the answer to our prayer. Stretch forth the hand of your majesty and heal and defend us, Lord. Unfortunately, not all who hear believe. Like those people in Jesus' hometown. What do they want with Jesus? Apparently, not the good news he proclaims, the liberty he brings, the sight he restores, or the freedom he promises. They want him dead. So they drag him out of town and bring him up to the cliff that the town is built on. They wanted the anointed one crushed for them, bruised and wounded, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. That hill was not Calvary, but it was close. Jesus came to be that word also, the despised, rejected, crucified word. He came to suffer for our sins, for the way that we've groaned about hearing his word, for our indifference to his word, and for the times we've allowed ourselves to be distracted and enticed away from it, choosing to go to a ball game or just relaxing at home after a busy Saturday instead of making sure that we come to hear the word. And instead of taking his word away and leaving us without hope and without help, he continues to come. He comes and extends the Lord's favor to us again and again. He does not have to be here. He does not have to do this. He does not need what we give him. He doesn't need our sins. He doesn't even need our prayers or our offerings. But he still comes week after week, service after service, forgiving, loving, and showing mercy to all of us. The joy of life in the church is that it is never just another Sunday service. Every week is a little Christmas, another Epiphany, another Easter. Jesus himself is the rabbi, the teacher whose word proclaims the Lord's favor. And he's so more than that. He's God with us, right here in our midst, visiting us with his mercy and grace. And that's why we should wish to be here, even when we cannot. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.